Okay, we dripping and I'm tripping, man. I'm just riding and gliding, sliding, whipping and dipping. Good morning to y'all. We're in the morning drip, man. August 18th. So, we're just with the ride out this morning. I got some good news for you to use. So, we just trying to understand this thing, man. We trying to understand Islam to y'all. Islam. As-salamu alaykum. I hope y'all are blessed. I hope y'all are feeling well this morning. If you're not feeling well, and whatever level that you're not feeling well, I ask that you channel your energy, that you channel your energy and tap in, man. Just tap into yourself, man, and get in tune and figure it out. You know, we're going to make it better. You know, we knew better, we do better. So that's what it's about. We get to tune in, we get to tap in, and we get to strive to do better. All right? So that's what this forum is for, to pass out this, decimate this information to us all. So we could use it and put it in our toolbox, you know, put in our toolbox I could use. So while I was doing some research for myself, and I was sitting and I was thinking, and I was studying and I was thinking, and I was like, wow. I had did some DNA, the DNA stuff, and I don't go into too much deep with all with what they saying and stuff, but I do it for certain reasons, to gather certain points, to you know, to tap in with certain people, you know, just to learn different stuff. It's an educational thing. It's not something that I take everything what they say, all right? But with that said, I was just looking at it, and I've been had it up for months. And I was remembering back to what the DNA said when it came back and the regions. And then over here it said my DNA is from the early Virginia people. So just today, months later, I'm just sitting here just thinking, just putting stuff together. And like, okay, let me study that. I understand the Virginia colony to extend. Let me go and really go into the depths with that and figure this out. This is who am I, right? Who am I? You know, I know what my great-grandmama and them and the tribal lineages and stuff, but how far do I know and do I understand? So I started today with my search on who are the original Virginians. So I already know that, you know, we was here 10,000 years before the Europeans even, 10,000 plus years before the Europeans even knew we was here or just set foot over here, right? So with that said, that's where my search started. Who are the Virginians? That was my Google search this morning. And so that's what my text is going to be about today. My text is going to be, I'm about to go into Virginia. I'm about to go into Virginia for us all right? Because I understand who were the early people, what languages they spoke, how many tribes was involved, the connection with the European. Because, see, we're playing our prophet too false or too small. I'm not going to say false, too small. And if you're playing a small, then that's, to me, that's false, because you're not taking him for who he is and what he brought. And if you think he just brought some little skimpy nationality, then you got him. You don't understand, and you're missing the whole thing. Because you got to remember now, the Charter for the Rights of Indigenous Children or Peoples, everybody has a right to a nationality. I mean, you could change your nationality, especially if you're the original man. Your DNA, your blood is, you know, everybody is within you. All the bouquet comes from you. Just put it that way. So, understanding what was here prior to the European, understanding the Confederacy, the Powhatan Confederacy, and understanding the people who comprise that. You know, it was multiple tribes, yeah, at least 30 of them. You know, alliance. You know, and then what region did they stay in? See, we remember we're water people, fishing and hunting, we're water people. We work with our hands. I remember we stayed up and down the Mississippi, the prophet said. So these are things that come to mind. These are things that I'm reflecting on. So I said, well, let me go back into the self. Okay, there's one thing to say, okay, you Moorish, you're Moorish Mary, this Moorish Dominion, okay, Moorish, they got an agreement with the Moors. The Moors helped finance their own war. Okay, all this and that. Okay, the treaties. Okay, that's true and precise indeed. It is. All right? But who are you? How far does that take you? How far can you go back into the self, you know, to equate to yourself to a piece of this estate, as they say, a piece of this land of your own? You understand what I'm saying? Because this business being done on top of the soil, you know, the heirs of the soil are the people who are the originators who are here. So if it's commerce, trade and commerce being going on, then how do you get your stipends? You see, there's a lot of people tapping in and getting their stipends from the alliance. Are you out here under the Negro, Black, and Color tag, and we sitting around here fooling around when we right in our own home on our own land? So Martin Luther King said it. The Negro finds himself exiled in his own land. That's because he's been made a Negro. That's right. He's been made a Negro. So here we go. The history of Virginia. Y'all all right today? Hey, y'all don't forget to tap in with me. Let me get my notes up here. Let me keep them right up so I can see them and be right on point. Don't forget to tap into the website at legalempowermentgroup101.com and almoreconsultationllc.com. Y'all look out for Queen Kitty, too, at queenkitty.net. Y'all tap in there as well. Y'all can go get some feminine line products for the sisters out there. You feel me? And I bear witness, they got some snapping results. So, the history of Virginia, early peoples, all right? The original inhabitants of Virginia arrived some 10,000 to 12,000 years ago. These were people of Paleo-Indian culture, who, like their successors, the Archaic culture people, lived mainly by hunting and fishing. From about 1000 BCE, the woodland culture begin to make pottery and to grow such crops as corn, maize, beans, and squash. The coastal areas of eastern Virginia supported a significant population of indigenous peoples who fished in the rivers and bays and hunted wild fowl. At the time of European settlement in the early 17th century, various tribal groups lived in the area. However, the early English settlers dealt mostly with the Powhatan Confederacy, an alliance of some 30 Algonquian-speaking peoples of the Tidewater region, united under the powerful chief Powhatan. Right? We'll start right there. Okay? So, okay, indigenous people, so in Virginia, okay, the original inhabitants of Virginia arrived 10,000 or 12,000 years ago. All right? They lived by hunting and fishing, so, you know, they lived on the coast, on the waters. All right? They grew corn, beans, squash. The coastal area supported of eastern Virginia supported a significant population of indigenous people who fished in the rivers and bays and hunted wildfowl. Okay, the earliest settlers dealt mostly with the Powhatan Confederacy. So what was the Powhatan Confederacy? That's what we should have gone to right now. So Powhatan, North American Indian Confederacy. This is from Encyclopedia Britannica. Powhatan Confederacy of at least 30 Algonquian-speaking North American Indian tribes that once occupied most of what is now Tidewater, Virginia. Okay, one moment. Okay, so now, Powhatan. Confederacy of at least 30 Algonquian-speaking North American Indian tribes that once occupied most of what is now Tidewater, Virginia, the eastern shore of the Chesapeake Bay, and possibly southern Maryland. The Confederacy had been formed by and named for a powerful chief, Powhatan, shortly before the colonial settlement of Jamestown in 1607. The tribes of the Confederacy provided mutual military support and paid taxes to Powhatan in the form of food, pelts, copper, and pearls. Right here, huh? Many of the Confederacy's villages, which consisted of long dwellings covered with bark or reed mats, were palisaded. They were situated near fields in which women cultivated corn, maize, beans, squash, and other vegetables. Men were occupied with hunting and warfare. Hostilities developed between the Powhatan Confederacy and the English settlers and resulted in intermittent fighting until 1676. Long-standing conflicts with the Iroquois were ended by a treaty in 1722, but the greatly reduced Powhatan population continued to decline. Those on the eastern shore of Virginia who had long intermarried with free and enslaved Africans were driven off in 1831 during the disturbances caused by a slave rebellion led by Nat Turner. In the earliest 21st century, population estimates indicated approximately 2,000 individuals of Powhatan descent. Okay, so let's go back up here now. Okay, the Powhatan. So, Algonquian-speaking people. So what is the Algonquian language? It's also spelled Algonquian. North American Indian language. Family whose member languages were spoken in Canada, New England, the Atlantic coastal region southward to North Carolina, and the Great Lakes region and surrounding areas westward to the Rocky Mountains. Huh? Among the numerous Algonquian languages are Cree, Ojibwa, Blackfoot, Cheyenne, Miquack, Micmac, Arapaho, and Foxhawk Kickapoo. The term Algonquian, often spelled this way to differentiate it from the family, refers to a dialect of Ojibwa. Algonquian languages have been classified by some scholars as belonging to a larger language group, the Macro-Algonquian Phylum. See also Macro-Algonquian languages. That's a trip, because I used to have a native brother when I was in them dismal, when I was stuck in them dismal, because I had a native brother. He was a Ojibwa, and I could tell him, man, the Algonquian, I told him that we were one and the same. we could talk about that. But yeah. Okay. So let's go back now. Bam. Let's go back. Let's see the Tidewater region. So the Tidewater region, Virginia, United States. Tidewater, also called coastal plain, natural region in eastern Virginia, U.S., comprising a low-lying alluvial plain on the western shore of Chesapeake Bay, between the Atlantic Ocean and the fall line, a line marking the junction between the hard rocks of the Appalachians and the softer deposits of the coastal plain. It is crossed by the Potomac, Rappahannock, York, and James Rivers and their tidal estuaries. The Great Dismal Swamp, astride the boundary with North Carolina to the south, is a distinctive feature. The first English settlements in America were founded in the Tidewater region, beginning with Jamestown in 1607. Floodplain, also called alluvial plain, flat land area adjacent to a stream, composed of unconsolidated sedimentary deposits, alluvium, and subject to periodic inundation by the stream. Floodplains are produced by lateral movement of a stream and by overbank deposition. Therefore, they are absent where downcutting is dominant. Any erosional widening of one bank is approximately equaled by deposition on the opposite side of the channel in the form of bar development along the inside of meander bends. Thus, the simplest floodplain is made up of a strip of sinuous scrolls immediately adjacent to the stream. Trapping. A meander curves enlarge. As meander curves enlarge, the alluvium is constantly reworked and the floodplain widens. The minimum width for a completely developed floodplain is equal to meander amplitude. I'm thinking of one, and I see the name of it, and that's crazy. But some floodplains are developed on deep and wide valley fields and are many times wider than the meander belt. The floodplain of the Mississippi River, below its confluence with the Ohio, has an occasional width of 80 miles, 130 kilometers, 80 miles across, with a total area estimated at 50,000 square miles. It's a part in, during inundation, silt drops from the retreated floodwater and trapped by vegetation tends to build up and level the floodplain surface. Buildup is greatest near the stream, forming natural levees in areas of stable banks. Floodplain deposits may show vertical side-graded stratification, sorting, tending to be coarser near the stream. The floodplain is an integral part of the stream system and is affected by the adjustments that the system makes to its sediment load and variable flow. Man, that's a cold system that we have set up. Man, look at that deep. Okay, so what we're going into here, we're just going into some of the papers here on how Virginia was established and who was here. Let me click back. Okay, so the early peoples. Okay, and they got the pictures here. Now the colonial period. The purposes of the representatives of the Virginia Company of London, who landed at present-day Jamestown in May 1607, were not only to colonize, but also to Christianize, to open new areas for trade, and to guard against further inroads by the Spanish, who had already colonized what is now Florida. Okay, so hunger, poor shelter, hostility from indigenous peoples, and rampant disease plagued the company's early years. But while the settlement tottered constantly on the brink of dissolution, a tobacco industry was established by John Rolfe, and a representative assembly was convened. Listen, Rolfe's marriage in 1614 to Pocahontas, daughter of Powhatan, brought temporary peace between the indigenous populations and the English. However, after the death of Pocahontas and her father, a war broke out between the two groups. In 1624, the company's charter was revoked, and Virginia was established. And Virginia was established as England's first royal colony. Listen, I'll be right here. In the following years, new settlements were made and local administrative systems were developed. Now, okay, so Virginia Company. Remember what it said, the purposes of the representatives of the Virginia Company. So now you understand. Okay, when you say Virginia, the state of Virginia, that's a company. Okay, now this Virginia Company, okay, this John Rolfe had established in Virginia the tobacco industry. The tobacco was superior to the tobacco that they was putting in from the Dominicans. So with him marrying Pocahontas, and they was already in the, having treaties with the Powhatan, Pocahontas was the princess. She was, that was her father. So him marrying her gave them foothold into the Americas. Into the, that's why it says the first colony became England. Virginia was established as England's first royal colony. That's significant. Okay? So let's go over here. Let's go to the Virginia Company. Let's see what the Virginia Company say. Okay, Virginia Company, British Trading Company. Virginia Company, in full Virginia Company of London, also called London Company, Commercial Trading Company. Chartered by King James I of England in April 1606 with the object of colonizing the eastern coast of North America between latitudes 34 degrees and 41 degrees north. Its shareholders were Londoners, and it was distinguished from the Plymouth Company, which was chartered at the same time and composed largely of men from Plymouth. Bam. Okay. In December 16, we'll go into all that. In December 1606, the Virginia Company sent out three ships carrying in approximately 105 colonists led by Christopher Newport. In May 1607, the colonists reached Virginia and founded the Jamestown Colony. Okay, I'm just going back. Okay, and formed the Jamestown Colony at the mouth of the James River. After some initial hardships, the colony took root, and the Virginia Company itself was reconstituted on a broader legal basis. A new charter in 1609 reorganized its governing structure. In 1619, the company established Continental America's first true legislature, the General Assembly, which was organized bisummarily. It consisted of the governor and his council, named by the company in England, and the House of Burgesses, made up of two burgesses from each of the four boroughs and seven plantations. Despite increasing prosperity in Virginia over the following years, the company's role came under attack as internecine disputes among the shareholders grew, and as the king himself became offended both by the trend toward popular government in Virginia and by the colony's efforts to raise tobacco, a noisome product of which he disapproved. A petition submitted to the king calling for an investigation of conditions in the colony led to a trial before the king's bench in May 1624. The court ruled against the Virginia Company, which was then dissolved, with the result that Virginia was transformed into a royal colony. Okay, so turned into a royal colony now. So to dissolve the company, the Virginia Company turned into a royal colony. So that's where we're at this point. Now let's go back. See? This goes says, and the reason I'm going into this, because when I was doing my DNA, like I said, it pointed and said all the spots there, the so-called, what they say, Africa, Nigeria, and all that stuff. But here in America, it says that it was, I was tied to the oldest Virginia settlement. Oldest Virginia people. So I said, let me go back now here. Because now, you know, I don't go about his story. I read his story. I hear his story. But we have our own story, too. So I'm like, okay, if your DNA is putting me back to the original Virginians, let me go study that and see. Because I could trace myself through there. Yeah, I definitely could trace myself through there. I could trace myself farther back as we got pushed farther back on reservations and they spread the people out. But I definitely can trace my ancestry, and that's a beautiful thing for them giving us that. Yes, we appreciate that. Okay, now Jamestown Colony, first permanent English settlement in North America, located near present-day Williamsburg, Virginia, established on May 14, 1607. The colony gave England its first foothold in the European competition for the New World, which had been dominated by the Spanish since the voyages of Christopher Columbus in the late 15th century. So now the Europeans was getting them a piece. You see me? Look, they show some of the Jamestown fort, 1606. Now remember, when we started this conversation, I'm going to go back, and it says that the original people here, the original people of Virginia settled it, and the original inhabitants of Virginia was 10,000 to 12,000 years ago. And all these dates are saying 1600, 1500, 1600, all that. Okay? So that's how we know that how far we was here before the Europeans even came here or knew we was here. Okay, that's when you were, that's what you want to study about your DNA and yourself. Not saying, oh, I'm African American. What does that mean? Where at? Where is Africa? Where is America? Is Africa and America one and the same? Yeah, who are you? You feel me? Get a piece of this estate, this land of your own. Yeah, grab a hold of your vast estate. Probably said I gave you everything. You know, you need to reclaim your vast estate. Say, what do you want me to do? Kill you? Give you everything. So listen, 1606 to 1607, to make sure you're on point, okay. The colony was a private venture financed and organized by the Virginia Company of London. King James I granted a charter to a group of investors for the establishment of the company on April 10, 1606. During this era, Virginia was the English name for the entire coast of North America, north of Florida. You hear that? Let me say it again. This is April 10, 1606. It said, during this era, let's go back. The colony was a private venture financed and organized by the Virginia Company of London. King James I granted a charter to a group of investors for the establishment of the company on April 10, 1606. During this era, Virginia was the English name for the entire coast of North America, north of Florida. The charter gave the company the right to settle anywhere from roughly present-day North Carolina to New York State. The company's plan was to reward investors by locating gold and silver deposits and by finding a river route to the Pacific Ocean for trade with the Orient. Y'all hear that? You see how we were trapping? Y'all see what we were doing over here? You see what they were looking for? You see what they found out? Now, you've been, boop, hit upside the head, don't know nothing that went on, don't know how great you are, were, and still are. And that's the point, by tying into who you are. Yeah, we not black. See, that's how you got blacked out of all this. They was looking for gold and silver deposits and river routes to the Pacific to trade with the Orient. Man, taking out your land, sending it somewhere else. But as we continue, okay, a contingent of approximately 105 colonists departed England in late December 1606 in three ships, the Susan Constant, the Godspeed, and the Discovery, under the command of Christopher Newport. They reached Chesapeake Bay on April 26, 1607. Soon afterward, the captains of the three ships met to open a box containing the names of members of the colony's governing council. Newport, Bartholomew Gosnold, one of the behind-the-scenes initiators of the Virginia Company, Edward Maria Wingfield, a major investor, John Radcliffe, George Kendall, John Martin, and Captain John Smith, a former mercenary who had fought in the Netherlands and Hungary. Wingfield became the colony's first president. Smith had been accused of plotting a mutiny during the ocean voyage and was not admitted to the council until a week later on June 10th. After a period of searching for a settlement site, the colonists moored the ships off a peninsula, now an island in the James River, on the night of May 13th and began to unload them on May 14th. The site's marshy setting and humidity would prove to be unhelpful, but the site had several apparent advantages at the time the colony's leaders chose it. Ships could pull up close to it in deep water for easy loading and unloading. It was unoccupied, and it was joined to the mainland only by a narrow neck of land, making it simpler to defend. The settlement, named for James I, was known variously during its existence as James Fort, Jamestown, and James City. First year, 1606 to 1607. The most Indian tribes of the region were part of the Powhatan Empire, with Chief Powhatan as its head. The colonists' relations with the local tribes were mixed from the beginning. The two sides conducted business with each other, the English trading their metal tools and other goods for the Native Americans' food supply. At times, the Indians showed generosity in providing gifts of food to the colony. On other occasions, encounters between the colonists and the tribes turned violent, and the Native Americans occasionally killed colonists who strayed along outside the fort. They're showing a picture of a Powhatan bus, a bronze portrait of Powhatan at the Ponumse Indian Reservation in Virginia. Great uncle or something. I got to go get sort of slide through all my stuff. On May 21st, 1607, a week after the colonists began occupying Jamestown, Newport took 5 colonists, including Smith, and 18 sailors with him on an expedition to explore the rivers flowing into the Chesapeake and to search for a way to the Pacific Ocean. On returning, they found that the colony had endured a surprise attack and had managed to drive the attackers away only with cannon fire from the ships. However, when Newport left for England on June 22 with the Susan Constant and the Godspeed, leaving the smaller Discovery behind for the colonists, he brought with him a positive report from the council in Jamestown to the Virginia Company. The colony's leaders wrote and probably believed that the colony was in good condition and on track for success. The report proved too optimistic. The colonists had not carried out the work in the springtime needed for the long haul, such as building up the food stores and digging a freshwater well. The first mass casualties of the colony took place in August 1607, when a combination of bad water from the river, disease-bearing mosquitoes, and limited food rations created a wave of dysentery, severe fevers, and other serious health problems. See, they didn't even know how to survive on the land. Numerous colonists died, and at times as few as 5 able-bodied settlers were left to bury the dead. In the aftermath, 3 members of the council, John Smith, John Martin, and John Radcliffe, acted to eject Edward Maria Wingfield from his presidency on September 10th. Radcliffe took Wingfield's place. It was apparently a lawful transfer of power authorized by the company's rules that allowed the council to remove the president for just cause. Shortly after Newport returned in early January 1608, bringing new colonists and supplies, one of the new colonists accidentally started a fire that leveled all of the colony's living quarters. The fire further deepened the colony's dependence on the Indians for food. In accordance with the Virginia Company's objectives, much of the colony's efforts in 1608 were devoted to searching for gold. Newport had brought with him 2 experts in gold refining to determine whether ore samples contained genuine gold, as well as 2 goldsmiths. With the support of most of the colony's leadership, the colonists embarked on a lengthy effort to dig around the riverbanks of the area. Councilor John Smith objected, believing the quest for gold was a diversion from needed practical work. There was no talk, no hope, no work, but dig gold, refine gold, load gold, one colonist remembered. During the colony's second summer, President Radcliffe ordered the construction of an over-elaborate capitol building. This structure came to symbolize the colony's mismanagement in the minds of some settlers. With growing discontent over his leadership, Radcliffe left office. Whether he resigned or was overthrown is unclear. John Smith took his place on September 10, 1608. To impose discipline in malingering colonists, Smith announced a new rule. He that will not work shall not eat, except by sickness he be disabled. Even so, the company continued to depend on trade with the Indians for much of its food supply. During Smith administration, so they was over here trying to establish their company, and they needed food. And the weather conditions, you know, we in the swamplands in the south, the weather conditions stuff was causing them problems, the mosquitoes causing them sickness stuff. So they didn't know how to, they was you outsiders. So they was outside on the land. They couldn't just go out and hunt and do stuff like that because you was in different people's territories and regions. So they had to depend on us for food and stuff with feeding them. So I figure once they got an understanding of the terrain and how to fend for themselves, then they just start slaughtering and killing and taking over. So here we go. So even so, the colony continued to depend on trade with the Indians for much of its food supply. During Smith's administration, no settlers died of starvation, and the colony survived the winter with minimal losses. In late September 1608, a ship brought a new group of colonists that included Jamestown's first women, Mistress Fortress and her maid, Anne Barrett. In London, meanwhile, the company received a new royal charter on May 23, 1609, which gave the colony a new form of management, replacing its president and council with a governor. The company determined that Sir Thomas Gates would hold that position for the first year of the new charter. He sailed for Virginia in June with a fleet of 9 ships and hundreds of new colonists. The fleet was caught in a hurricane en route, however, and Gage's ship was wrecked off Bermuda. Other ships of the fleet did arrive in Virginia that August, and the new arrivals demanded that Smith step down. Smith resisted, and finally it was agreed that he would remain in office until the expiration of his term the following month. His presidency ended early, nonetheless. While still in command, Smith was seriously injured when his gunpowder bag caught fire from mysterious causes. He sailed back to England in early September. A nobleman named George Percy, the eighth son of an earl, took his place as the colony's leader. George Percy, huh? Find out that might be my kinfolk. So you know, telling who these people is, man. The starving time and near abandonment. 1609 to 1611. In the autumn of 1609, after Smith left, Chief Powhatan began a campaign to starve the English out of Virginia. The tribes under his rule stopped bartering for food and carried out attacks on English parties that came in search of trade. Honey became highly dangerous, as the Powhatan Indians also killed Englishmen they found outside the fort. Long relying on the Indians, the colony found itself with far too little food for the winter. As the food stocks ran out, the settlers ate the colony's animals, horses, the dogs, and cats, and then turned to eating rats, mice, and shoe leather. In their desperation, some practiced cannibalism. The winter of 1609-10, commonly known as the starving time, took a heavy toll. Of the 500 colonists living in Jamestown in the autumn, fewer than one-fifth were still alive by March 1610. 60 were still in Jamestown. Another 37 more fortunate had escaped by ship. So you can see why they're trying to hold on and not going to ever let go. I mean, you know, they went through a tough period trying to take over here. They remember that in themselves. It's like you're supposed to remember the tough time when it was taken away from you. You're supposed to remember the struggle and the toil that your people went through, you know, so you could reclaim this back was yours. So yeah, that's what this goes into. And like I say, we'll go into more. We'll get into more M-O-O-R tomorrow, inshallah. Because we'll go into the tobacco and, you know, and the representing democracy and slavery and, you know, how people, you go see how you became African-American, how all this stuff was going on. You got to remember, this is 1600. That's late. That's late, folks. We was here already 10,000, 12,000 years prior to them. So we talking about, we going into ourselves deeper than what their story is. So my ancestry on their side said to the early Virginia peoples, and they only could go back, their only history goes back from that point 300, 400 years, whatever. That's nothing. We supersede that. Yeah, we was here way before that. That's just their history, his story. And that's cool. He's telling his story. He got the right to tell his story. I got the right to investigate it and tell my own story. And that's what this is about. And that's what we own here today. So, we still got 19 P's here. So let me go back into some of this. So they turned to cannibalism. And that's deep, man. That's deep. So a lot of this stuff, man, just going in, searching ourselves. That's what I'm searching out for. I'm going into myself. Like I said, I know a lot of my history as far as great-grandparents and stuff, growing up on tribes. So I know I could tap in through stuff like that, the burials of Indian affairs and stuff. But I want to go deeper than that, you know, deeper than that, because a lot of it is after they start pushing us westward. See? And they start getting us off of our eastern lands. And that's what their agreement was, to get us off of our eastern lands and to push us west. So being here and knowing that you're here and what your blood lineage is going to, because nobody can deny you that. Nobody can push you away. When you pop up on the people who's going under Indian tags and the Bureau of Indian Affairs and all them people, man, you put your claim down, can't nobody stop that blood. Ain't nobody stop that blood, man, who you are. So that's a big thing, man, and tying into a piece of this land. So we searching for the wrong thing in the wrong way. And the prophet brought us everything for us to save ourselves, man, and to reclaim a piece of this earth of our own. We at home, y'all. Martin Luther King knew that. So listen, what about Rebecca? So we did our study on Rebecca And we thank the Moors for that. Yeah, that was Marvin Bay right there, or the Rebecca. I've been sending that into the prison. I've been sending that into the sisters. Who is this Rebecca? So here goes an article on Pocahontas, also called Motoka, and Omanut, Christian named Rebecca, born circa 1596 near present-day Jamestown, Virginia. Died, USA, died March 16, 7, Gravesend, Kent, England. Powhatan Indian, woman who fostered peace between English colonists and Native Americans by befriending the settlers at Jamestown Colony in Virginia and eventually marrying one of them. Among her several Native names, the one best known to the English was Pocahontas, translated at the time as Little Wantum or Mischievous One. She was getting loose. Pocahontas was getting loose. She was messing with the dude she married and another one. They said she was trying to keep the peace. People trying to war with us, and it wasn't trying. They was warring with the tribe, so I guess she was sleeping with one and sleeping with the other when she was trying to keep the peace. So they can't look on her bad, what she was trying to do. She was trying to keep the peace. They was killing us and moving forward. Roman iron ahead. And she was trying to keep the peace, man. So they would call her Little Wantum, or Mischievous One. She was a daughter of Powhatan, as he was known to the English. He was also called Wahasanaka, chief of the Powhatan Empire, which consisted of some 28 tribes of the Tidewater region. Pocahontas was a young girl of age 10 or 11 when she first became acquainted with a colonist who settled in the Chesapeake Bay area in 1607. By the account of colonial leader John Smith, he interceded to save Smith's life in December of that year, after he had been taken prisoner by her father's men. Smith wrote that when he was brought before Powhatan, Pocahontas halted Smith's execution by placing herself over him as he was about to have his head clubbed on a stone. Pocahontas released Smith to return to Jamestown. Some writers have theorized that Smith may have misunderstood what he saw and that what he believed to be an execution was instead a benign ceremony of some kind. Others have alleged that he invented the rescue outright. What is known is that Pocahontas became a frequent visitor to the settlement and a friend of Smith. Her faith for nature made her favorite. Now, man, she's 10 or 11. She's 11 years old. Which is he grown. He did the marrier. So y'all be tripping off the age thing, see? But back then in them times, shoot, I know my looks at my DNA, my great-grandfather, Tupapa. Man, Tupapa married my great-grandmama. They had their first child. He was 33 and she was 15. So, see, it was a difference then. You had people educating and teaching them. They wasn't trying to use and abuse them in their heads and their minds. And y'all, they look at stuff different. That's how European. But she was real young. She was 11 years old going over there visiting him. So her play for nature made her a favorite, and her interest in the English proved valuable to them. She sometimes brought gifts of food from her father to relieve the hard-pressed settlers. She also saved the lives of Smith and other colonists in a trading party in January 1609, by warning them of an ambush. So she wasn't told that her people was coming, trying to save them. After Smith returned to England in late 1609, relations between the settlers and Powhatan deteriorated. The English informed Pocahontas that Smith had died. She did not return to the colony for the next 4 years. In the spring of 1613, however, Sir Samuel Argyll took her prisoner, hoping to use her to secure the return of some English prisoners and stole his English weapons and tools. Argyll did so by conspiring with Japazus, the chief of the Potawatomi tribe, who lived along the Potomac River and whom Pocahontas was visiting. Japazus and his wife lured Pocahontas onto Argyll's ship, where Argyll kept her until he could bring her to Jamestown. Although her father released 7 English prisoners, an impasse resulted when he did not return the weapon and tools and refused to negotiate further. Pocahontas was taken from Jamestown to a secondary English settlement known as Henricus. Treated with courtesy during her captivity, Pocahontas was converted to Christianity and was baptized Rebecca. She accepted a proposal of marriage from John Rolfe, a distinguished settler, before the Virginia governor, Sir Thomas Dale, and Chief Powhatan agreed to the marriage, which took place in April 1604. So 7 years later, she was 16, 17. Following the marriage, peace prevailed between the English and the Native Americans as long as Chief Powhatan lived. According to Powhatan tradition and the account of one colonist, Pocahontas had previously been married to a Powhatan man named Kakaum, that she married in her tribe. In the spring of 1616, Pocahontas, her husband, their one-year-old son, Thomas, and a group of other Native Americans, men and women, sailed with Governor Dale to England. There she was entertained at royal festivities. The Virginia Company apparently saw her visit as a device to publicize the colony and to win support from King James I, an investor. While preparing to return to America, Pocahontas fell ill, probably with lung disease. Her illness took a turn for the worse and interrupted her return voyage before her ship left the River Thames. She died in the town of Gravesend at the age of 21 and was buried there on March 21, 1617. It's like poison, or my guy, auntie. Probably poison, great auntie. After her husband immediately returned to Virginia, her son remained in England until 1635 when he went to Virginia and became a successful tobacco planter. Pocahontas has been an enduring image in American literature and art, the prototypical Indian princess whose narrative has been relentlessly refashioned to suit the polemical, poetic, or marketing needs of its interpreters. From the early 19th century, the emphasis of her story shifted from Smith's description of his rescue to Pocahontas' relationship with the rope, a mixed marriage that provided a practical and metaphoric model for the beneficial possibilities of the blending of indigenous and colonial cultures. The mixing of the breeze right there. By the time of John Glassby Chapman's painting of the baptism of Pocahontas for the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol in 1836-40, the benefits of the coupling of Wolf and Pocahontas had been more contingent, predicated on her assimilationist acceptance of Christianity, turning the people over. And then when you just go back and study more, so I'm just going back and study more into the areas where my DNA was out of, and Christianity wasn't even inside of. My people was on Islam. Christianity came after that into the regions. All where my DNA at. So I see why I was Allah guided me back to that. All my DNA, my ancestors, the people. Yeah, Christianity came after that, and they only did that just so they wouldn't get their head chopped off. So, yeah. So that's why the Pope said we're giving Christianity back to Rome and the church, man. That's theirs. To the European, that's theirs. That's for their salvation. That's for their earthly salvation. We're going back to our forefathers' divine creed. Islamism, he said, for our earthly and divine salvation. So we want both of them, the earthly and the divine salvation. We don't just want earthly salvation. See, that's what people are searching for. Oh, we just live one life here now. It's the earthly salvation. What about your divine salvation? You feel me? What about the spirit that be and always is and forevermore will be? How do you want that to continue to be? Do you want it to continue to be in this state? This is a fallen state we in. We got to come out of this. That's what the history and learning about self is. You learn about your greatness and who you are and start going inside yourself and going back in and, you know, bringing that spirit back of your foremothers and fathers. So you could be again and breathe and, yeah, civilize and create and then disappear. But listen, you can't, nothing from nothing is nothing, but we come from something. Even your flesh goes back. Everything lives forever. Your flesh doesn't die. What's inside of you, the light inside of you goes out. But the flesh goes back into the earth. Earth it was, earth it be. It turns back into soil. The bones turns back into whatever it turns back into. It stays there. It's forever. It's eternal, like the spirit inside of you. Where did it come from? Where did it go? You come from a little worthless spirit, the Quran says. I mean, a little worthless fluid, a little polywog. You look under a microscope with a tail on it, a little polywog, amphibian. Yeah, we H2O. It go up in the air and come down in water. We breathe in it, but you don't think you a fish. You're a water creature. You're in a water bag all your life, 9 months. Then you come out and you say you think you can't swim, scared to get in the water. Hell, you was in a water bag for 9 months. You was a polywog. Hell, you was in some nut sacks spinning around. You been knew how to swim. You had to swim upstream to go up to get fertilized by the egg. How you don't know how to swim? See? That's how far we don't go back into the self and understand that. How you don't know how to swim? See, have you seen a person have a natural birth in the water? And you see when the mother spit the baby out, what does the baby do? Proven science. The baby, you see him, doggy paddle straight up to the surface. See, coming to grips. We got to get together. We got to get it together. So today is Wednesday. I know there's going to be more Harrison in history school today. Hopefully it is. Hopefully the sister's doing cosmetology. Hopefully it's one of the weeks they fall on. I fall and study that. And I know my followers follow that too. Follow the sisters on that station too for Morris Harrison History School. Yeah. So, yeah, we coming to the conclusion, the final minutes. I thank y'all for tuning in today with me. Just learning some things, going in. Find out who you are. What tribe you from? Go deep into yourself. Go beyond the blackness, the whiteness, the tags, the Indian and all that. Go deep into yourself. Find out who you are. Get a piece of this land of your own. There's stuff out there, man. People doing business on top of the land. People being paid royalties. That's why they got casinos and all kinds of stuff. People getting royalties for people living and taking coal and silver and diamonds and minerals out of your land. Yeah, you're an heir. Yeah, you're not trying to stop people from doing business or nothing. You just want your stipends. You want your dividends. You want your percentage. That's all. People continue to do business. Then when you do business, you'll be on the square with the business. You don't have to worry about being taxed because you know you're Aboriginal. They can't tax you. You can tax them. So then you'll be able to do business and produce and be industrious. So see, that's what people don't want. The powers that be don't want that, but that's for you to control, for you to decide. That's all on you, knowing who you are. Man, know thyself. That's what was on the pyramids and inside the tombs. Man, know thyself. Who are you? If you know who you are, then you get a piece of this land. So that's what my focus is, man. I'm trying to find all the ways, and don't fall for the hook. The hook is the bait. Don't fall for the bait, y'all. It's a hook in it. If the fish knew that it was a hook in the bait, would he bite it? No, ma'am. No, sir. He wouldn't bite it. That's the case. You just go fishing with the hook. Now, there's some scavengers out there, but them being, yeah, they're biting. It's a hook. Now, anything by the hook, watch out. Yeah, I wouldn't want to eat that. Anything that's by the hook, it's been eating anything. All kinds of stuff in its stomach, it's eating a hook. Shit, ain't nothing it won't eat. So, yeah, look out for that. Look out for that, man. Look out for that. The prophet said there's no need, the prophet Noble Drew Ali I'm speaking on, said there's no need for the 13th, 14th, 15th Amendment for the salvation of my people. So if you biting any bait and it got those hooks in it, the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment, then you're dead. Those are dead badges of law. Did you know that? Those are dead badges of law. They're not no good. They haven't been constitutionally convened. Yeah, study history, man. Study what's going on, man. Wake up, man. You're not an artificial person. You're a natural person. You need to be that, and we need to get a claim of this land of our own. I fall for it, too, the banana and the tailpipe. They want to sell us good packages. Oh, UCC, this, man, that stuff is for different reasons, man. That stuff is a public tool to use in a manner, and you got to know how to use that stuff, you know? Yeah, you got to know how to use that stuff. All you do is just set up businesses. Easy to set up businesses. But who are you? What do you need? This land is already yours. This land is already yours. There's plenty provided for you here. You just got to know how to tap into it. You see? That's how they set up companies in your name. Because you tied to the land. Why else would they set a company up in your name? Hell, if you ain't working nothing and ain't got nothing, why would they set companies up in your name? Hey, because they need your name to take out of the land. Only thing is, the name, your name is not your name. It's the name that they got coined and copied and they profiting off of. That's why they don't want you to use it the way that they using it. But you could go get all the documentation of how they use it. You could go search all the account numbers and get all the CUSIP numbers, everything from your birth certificate, the numbers on your birth certificate, to the numbers on your Social Security card, to the numbers on the back of your Social Security card, to the numbers on your bank account, to the numbers to your car note, any account number you got, you go get a CUSIP and search on it and find out that it's tied to billions of dollars in bonds. That's right. And what have you been getting from that? What percentage of that is owned to you? It's in your image and likeness. Are you familiar with Minnesota Rule 220? That stuff is in your image and likeness. So that's a suit, a claim. That's an injury claim. Get all the documents, all your family members, all of them, no matter if they on crack cocaine, no matter what they on. If they on crystal methamphetamine, they running up and down the street, pimping and hoeing, whatever they doing, that's not your responsibility. They heir to the throne, too. Go get all the documentation, every license number, account number that you got, run CUSIP searches on and pay for them. They might cost, pay for them. Get the results, the documentation, and do you a class action suit with your family. Tap in and find out what native nationality, tribe, aboriginal that you are, you're here. Man, put your family name into the books for everybody to see who you are Amen. To claim your land and get your reparation. That's how you get your reparation. You're getting your land. The resources on the land, these people ain't got nothing to give you. They borrowing, usurping, and extorting to get everything that they can get. And they playing with paper money. This land is not theirs. Hell, they from Europe. This is not Europe. So that's what we need to get with, and that's what we need to get on and get to the getting and start putting our heads together in our family, building up the family tree, see how far you can go back, who we are. Okay, you tie here, that puts us with this bloodline. This bloodline is our family. We from Yamasi. We from Wachita. Whatever. You tie it all tied together. And put your claim, put your name down in the books, and get real royalties and get paid. Because they got to pay you all these trains running up and down the tracks with all these goods and stuff up in them. Yeah, we ain't getting nothing, nada, not nothing, because we keep saying that we black. So, with that said, man, we just go keep it rolling, man. And we just go hope that we do better now. We just go hope that we do better. I hope y'all take this information and use it. And let's come up, put it together. Class action suit with your whole family, everybody. Man, I don't care if it's only 50 of y'all, all 50 of y'all. If it's 100 of y'all, all 100 of y'all. If it's 200 of y'all, 200 of y'all. Everybody. The babies, everybody. Get your birth certificates. Get everything which you can go on and trace. They left a paper trail. They left a paper trail of what they did. Your birth certificate is a blank check. It's a blank check to show all the injuries that's been done to you by all the insurance companies, all the companies that's been tapping into that and using that against you, and you ain't been getting nothing from it. You've been having to pay into something that they've been using your energy based off of you. So use that as a claim, folks. Be in your proper in propria persona sui juris, in propria persona sui juris, in your proper mind and state, and represent who you are. Listen, I thank you for joining today, the Morning Drip with Suleiman Bey. Tap in again when you see the alerts. Put your alerts on your phone when you see me tap it in for show 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Try to do it more. Until then, y'all just be blessed. Y'all be blessed, man. Keep your heads, keep your focus on there, and keep steady, steady, steady. That's what Poppy said. And just know that. Know that we coming into our own, man. It's the time for us to come into our own. It's here. Stay protected. Keep your mask on. Hey, live life. Peace and love. Assalamu alaikum to you all. Looking forward to seeing you guys and hearing from you soon. Peace. You only can rescue me.